Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we continue on this side of the curtain, diving into God's Word, I wonder if any of you, and it's almost kind of like a silly question, like, have you ever encountered phishing scams in email or text messages or phone calls? Like, y'all understand those, right? Like, you get those too? I'm not the only one on that list. I don't know how you get off that list, but I'd love to get off of it. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that we've all encountered scams, someone trying to scheme and connive to get something from us. A couple months ago, I came across one of these. It came across me. I would call it like next level. And I say next level because it actually began with my mother. Now, she's not here to defend herself, so... She received a call from someone claiming to be an investigator for the sheriff's department, wanting to know where I was. Now, I'm sure she had the good, faithful response, not, what would he do now? But it sent her into orbit. Well, I get a phone call from a number I didn't recognize a little bit later, and I pick up the phone, yellow, and there wasn't that silence, right? Like, normally, if it's a fake call, you have that silence, and bam! And if I ever do that to you, sorry, please just call back. You didn't say hello fast enough. This time, they were right there. So I was like, okay, this is a person. Hello, yes, is this Mr. Link? Yep. Hello, this is Mr. Brown. I'm an investigator from the sheriff's office, and I have a couple questions for you. I'm like, oh, no. Okay, Mr. Link, I need to know why you didn't show up for court today. You were scheduled for jury duty. And I'm going, and if you can't provide me a good explanation, I'm going to dispatch deputies to come and arrest you because this is a serious matter. And my mind is racing, right? Heart pounding, like up in your chest. I have really blown it this time. And I fumbled and I said something like, man, well, what court was I even supposed to be in? Well, the local court, and Your Honor, was very upset that you weren't there today. And if you don't say something, I'm going to come and arrest you. And I'm going, like, what are you even talking about? Like, something seems off because he's not directly answering my questions, right? Well, what court? The local court. Well, what judge? Your Honor. Like, ugh. And he says, this doesn't sound right. And I said, I'm going to hang up the phone right now. If you do that, I'm dispatching officers to, what's our address? And I'm like, holy cow, this dude knows my address. Like, this is next level scamming. Well, I just said, well, sir, I guess I'll talk to them when they show up in the yard. And I hung up the phone. Well, I didn't go to jail. I'm still here. It was a scam. Like, but that heart racing, gut wrenching, ugh, for nothing. I don't know what they were after, but they got me, right? They got me. It feels terrible to be scammed. We'd be frustrated, angry. We want to get back. Well, as we continue in our teaching portion of the service today, like, we're going to find the people of Israel found those same feelings when they were scammed. You see, in the book of Joshua, the people of God were scammed by one of their neighbors, the Gibeonites. And of course, in this day, they didn't use cell phones, email, or any of that kind of stuff to do it. This scam was set up using old shabby clothes, some molded bread, and worn-out sandals. Even by today's standards, this is a pretty elaborate scam. But you see, in this story, the children of God, man, they're being led by the Lord. He's fighting for them. They literally have the best fraud protection there is. But they don't engage him. They don't ask him. They don't seek him. And they make the decision. They fall for this scam, having never sought the Lord in his wisdom. And it turns out to be a big mistake in their story. So how about in your story today? We also have the greatest fraud protection ever in the Lord, right? And the Bible tells us that we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is trying to swindle us and scheme us and scam us out of our life in Christ, trying to lure us into sin. Are we running to the Lord with every decision that we make? Big or small, are we living in that union with Him, seeking His will and listening to His voice? Are we walking in step with the Lord? Today, we're going to continue with part 6 of our teaching series through the book of Joshua. Throughout this series and throughout this story in the Scriptures, we find the people of God and Joshua, man, they're encountering some real challenges to their story, right? They're called to live in faith. God has a plan, but they are facing real hard stuff. They're facing flooded rivers and fortified cities and giant armies. Like, these are real challenges that would cause real people to fear, to have doubt. But yet in the midst of all of those challenges, all of those things, we see the faithfulness and the power of God at work in the lives of His people. And friends, that merges this ancient story with us today. Because we too have a life to live in faithfulness, following out the will of the Lord, and we face challenges. But what we see too in our story in 2024 is that we can count on the faithfulness of God. That's the story of Joshua, and that's our story today. We're continuing in chapter 9 today, talking about the Gibeonite deception. This scam was not about money. It was not about them trying to hack their bank account or anything. No, the Gibeonites are trying to trick the Israelites into sparing their lives. And suddenly this conversation takes a little bit of a turn, doesn't it? This is not about money or power or bank accounts. This is about life. It's a complex story. So let's jump in. We'll try to start teasing it apart. As we would get a run up to chapter 9, they are on the heels of a massive victory, right? The people of God have defeated Jericho. They've defeated the city of Ai. And this news is traveling around the region. Like, there's a new kid on the block, and they're winning, right? And so the neighboring nations are starting to try to figure out, like, what do we do? How do we stand up against the Israelites? So some of them, they come together. They say, well, we're going to fight together. Let's become friends. Let's make a treaty. Let's fight them together. That's in the background here, but one neighboring nation has a different strategy. They're not going to fight head on. They want to try something different. And that's where we begin at chapter 9, verse 3. It says, however, so after following this plan of the neighboring nations to come together and fight together, we see a different story. However, then the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. So they resorted to a ruse, a scheme, a scam, deceptive actions. What they did? They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." Make a treaty with us. Even by today's standards, this is a pretty elaborate scam, right? You see, they gather up these old and worn out clothes, these old wine containers. They've got holes in their shoes. All of these things they're trying to pretend to be from a distant land. Well, what difference does that make? And that's really, it helps us to understand in the background here. All the way back in the time of Moses, part of the whole deal of this inheritance of the promised land is that they were not to make treaties with neighboring nations. They weren't to come into covenant, into relationship with them, because God said, look, if you do, they're going to lead you away from me. They're going to teach you idolatrous practices. Don't go there. So that's in the background of this story, because God did make provisions for them to partner, to be in relationship with countries who were far away. And so that's why the Gibeonites are going to all this effort, all this scam, to make it appear as if they're from a long ways away. And they're saying, hey, make a treaty with us. So they arrive in this, with this, you know, we don't approve of this deception, but it was brilliant, right? So they arrive with this masquerade on of being far away, and they say, hey, we want to make a treaty, a covenant. And again, in an ancient Near East, if you were a smaller country and an invading army was coming in, this was common to go and try to seek peace, seek a relationship. That's what's happening here on behalf of the Gibeonites. So the scam is set, right? It's all laid out. Will it work? They're trying to save themselves. Let's continue in the text, verse 7. It says, the Israelites said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us. So how can we make a treaty with you? We are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, who are you and where do you come from? As we read these questions and put ourselves in that text, like something must have seemed fishy, right? Because they're at least showing a little bit of knowledge of what God said, don't do this, be aware of this. And they're going, how do I know you're not a neighbor? And their answer cracks me up. We're your servants. That's not what I asked. Like, this is asking a child, like, if parents, I know you recognize this. If your kid comes out of the pantry closet carrying a cookie and you're like, didn't we just talk about this? We said not to have a cookie. And their response is something like, but the cats are eating the dog food. No. Right? Like, that reminds me of what's going on here. They dodge the question. Who are you? Where are you from? We're your servants. And so Joshua, he doubles down. All right, look, guys, who are you? Where did you come from? And then we find their response in verse 9. They answered, your servants, they're continuing with that line, right? Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtoreth. And all our elders and all those living in our country said, hey, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins, they were filled new, but now see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. It's quite a scheme, right? And at Joshua's questioning, man, they're laying it all out there. They're pouring it on thick. And they say that, man, we've come, we've done all this because we've heard about your God. Isn't that an interesting note here? We've come because we heard about all the Lord has done for his people, delivering them from Egypt, giving a victory over the kings. We've come because we've heard of that. And if you think back, if you were with us in the story of Rahab, think about the words she said to the spies. It was this message, right? Like, God had gone before his people. He was putting fear in the hearts of the people. They heard the reports and believed. And just like Rahab responded, these folks are responding. We've come because we've heard about your God. And what we see here is that, like, this story is building, right? Like, it's ratcheting up to a climax, to this moment. All the cards are laid out on the table. And what happens next is that they call a prayer meeting because something seemed off and they know that God would want them to. No. Well, they at least get on and text their life group and say, hey, would you pray for me this week? Man, something doesn't seem right. Like, we're asking questions, so we're at least going to, like, go back here and have a team huddle and think about it for a minute. No. No. Look at verse 14. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. The people went on what they thought they could see and know. Right? Like, they looked at this moldy bread. Yep, it's moldy. It's dry. Their sandals have holes in. They looked at the evidence that was before them, what they see they can know, but they did not ask the Lord. They didn't ask the Lord. They knew the command of the Lord. They knew they weren't supposed to be in relationship with other nations. Like, they knew to be careful in these conversations, but they went right past it. They didn't pull back and ask the Lord. They went off of what they could do. It seemed good enough, so they did it. They trusted their own ability. They trusted their own discernment. They trusted their own strength. And you see, it turns out that they were deceived into breaking the commandment of the Lord. They weren't living out. They weren't seeking God's best for their lives. Man, have you ever been there in your story? Have you ever been there when something is before you, a decision, a challenge, and so we go about this thing, man, we gather all the facts, don't we? We want to know all the details, all we can find out. We'll go to Google, we'll YouTube that joker, we'll do everything we can do to learn more about it. We try to gather the intel, we call friends and we call family and say, hey, what do you think? What would you do? We take all these steps and energies looking away, and we can stop short of ever just taking a breath and asking the Lord. Man, have you ever been there? Like, it seemed good at the time. It seemed like the right decision, but a little bit of time reveals that maybe we didn't have all the information. We didn't know people's motives, and we were deceived, broken, hurt. Yeah. That's what happened in the story of the Israelites here. You see, the truth of the matter for them comes out in a couple days, right? They learned that these ambassadors from a far country are really only about as far away as Bridgewater. 25 miles. Too close. Too close. They find this out, and the people are furious, right? Like, they have all those deep feels that we have when we're scammed, right? We want vengeance. We want to get back. And that's basically what they tell Joshua, but you see, they had already messed up. They had made an oath, and like, man, they made that oath calling on the name of the Lord. And so if they went back on their word, they were not only going back on their word, they were going back on what they promised to God. And if they would have done that, it would have been heaping sin on top of sin, which never goes well. So Joshua literally steps in and saves their lives. And man, Joshua's got some questions, right? Like, why did you do this? And that's what we find in verse 22 and 23. Joshua calls them forward. He summons the Gibeonites and he says, why did you deceive us? Why did you scam us by saying, we live a long way away from you while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never be released from this service as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. For their actions, Joshua would place them under a curse, kind of. They would be constrained to serving the people of God by providing wood and water for their worship services. Now, when you consider that before they were doomed for destruction, I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound so bad. Cut some firewood and bring some water. Sounds better to me. So in some sense, like, it works. And that's what they respond. They answer Joshua and they say, look, your servants, we were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared. We feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you. They come clean, right? You see, now they're protected by this oath. They're free to just say, hey, man, this is really what we did. And what's revealed here is like they are responding. There was faith motivating their actions. Because if they didn't believe what they heard about God, they'd have never done it. It was faith that motivated their actions, and they believed what they heard about him. They took action, and however imperfectly they did that, man, God in his mercy met them there. Because in the very next chapter of the story of Joshua, when the neighbors of the Gibeonites found out about this, they were a little mad, right? Because now they've sided with Israel. And so they come and they're going to attack the Gibeonites. But yet what happens is that Joshua and the Lord, they go up and fight on behalf of the Gibeonites. They literally fight to save their lives. And God does an amazing miracle in that story. He literally stops the sun in the sky to hold time for them to totally defeat their enemy. Joshua and the people of Israel and God himself are now fighting for the Gibeonites. Man, that's mercy. How are we doing? We good? Like, this is a complex text, right? And I feel like I say that a lot, but man, there's deception, there's disobedience on both sides of this whole thing, and we're going, what on earth does that have to do with us today, preacher? Great question. I've been asking that some this week myself. Man, I think one of the easy hop-outs, one of the easy highlights is verse 14, right? Like when they don't just take a minute and seek the Lord. And I mean, that might seem like us today, like, oh man, Preston, that's so basic. Like, we all know that. Do we? I mean, like, we might know that, but do we live that? Do we live that? Do we live that constant one-on-one relationship where we're constant communion with the Lord, just working out our day-to-day life with Him, getting His guidance, His leading, and responding in obedience? Are we doing that? Like, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me when something comes down the pipe, man, I'll fire up Google, and man, I read the forums, read the websites, get the YouTube videos, all the things. You phone a friend, hey, what would you do? What have you done? And we can spend all this energy and time and effort doing good research. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But we don't ever stop and go, close the phone, close everything, and just go, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I don't know that we maliciously do that, but we get in that mode and we just breeze right past Him. All the evidence before us looks good, right? The bread's moldy and their sandals are worn out, so we just do it. And all the while, God's going, what about me? I have a plan and a purpose for your life. If you would only ask me, I would lead you in it. And we blow by Him. Jesus, when He was teaching about prayer, He says this. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? Like, man, just ask. Ask for wisdom. Ask for leading. Ask for discernment. Lord, what do I do here? And man, be willing to wait for Him to respond. You see, we're never alone. We have the best fraud protection there is against the enemy. Let's make sure we're using it. Let's make sure we're using it. There's another piece of this passage that, man, just verse 14, like that's up there, that stands out, and we really need to marinate in that. But there's just been another piece of this passage that's messing with me. It's been a little harder for me to wrap my mind around. And it's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. My first couple reads through this passage, I had this takeaway that said something like this, that man, well, okay, Joshua blows it, got that lesson from verse 14, and so now the Gibeonites, man, kind of as a concession to their blowing it, they're allowed to live. Right? Like, I guess that's a way to read this passage. But what about the rest of the story? And that's where the Lord's really been challenging me about that perspective. Because that perspective doesn't take into account the mercy of God and what His heart was for the Gibeonites. You see, if you follow their story out, like let's get on the long trajectory here for a minute. The Gibeonites, man, they have a long story with the people of God. Story of Joshua. Let's go just a little bit further. When Joshua finishes conquering the land, the Gibeonites are among the tribes of Israel who receive land for themselves. That doesn't sound like a concession to me. Keep going. This idea of wood and water carrying, we might hear that and say, ah, you know, man, Joshua punished them by being slaves. Yes, okay. What they were doing was carrying water and wood for the worship of Yahweh. They were at the heart of the worship of the people of God. This is not a concession. This is mercy. This is God rewriting their future. And it started with a scam. Man, keep going. Let's go. Let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant. Man, it would often come through Gibeon and remain there. The Ark of the Covenant, the representation of God's presence, it would reside in Gibeon. Keep going. King David, unified Israel, mightiest king, right? Some of his greatest men were Gibeonites. Keep going in the story. The children of Israel exiled. Babylon comes and destroys everything. It's a mess. When they finally get to come back home, they get to start putting back together the walls, the pieces of their life. Who's with them carrying the stones? The Gibeonites. And what's challenged me is I've been looking at this going, man, well, what started out as a scam ends in redemption and a new future for these people. God had mercy on them because they responded with what little bit of faith they knew and what they had. They acted on it. Man, they did it imperfectly. They lied, they cheated, they did all those things, but they were responding the best they knew how, and God met them there. And He rewrote their future. And so can I just tell you what's been messing with me? I'd like to know what would have happened if there wouldn't have been human error in this thing. Right? Because this beautiful plan, this salvation came at a fault and a mess up of the people of God and the Gibeonites. We'll never know what God's best plan was because humans messed it up. But His mercy reigned. His mercy reigned. It is amazing what God will do when someone is seeking Him. Friends, that reminds me of our story. I want to know, band, you going, come on, make your way up. We often try to bargain our way to God, don't we? We show up like the Gibeonites. Lord, if you'll just allow us to be our servant, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, man, if you'll get me out of this speeding ticket, I promise I'll never speed again. Don't raise your hand or say amen. But we're bargaining. Lord, God, I am in a mess. I have blown it this time. If you'll get me out of this, I'll never drink again. And you go, man. Lord, if you'll just help me in this relationship, either get out of it or get into it. Lord, if you'll just do for me, I'll do for you. We're bargaining. We're bargaining. So many times we find ourselves in the midst of a difficult, a challenging circumstance, and we try to bargain it out with God. What would happen if we just cut all of that out and just came and said, Lord, I'm in a mess. I am a mess. And I'm throwing myself on your mercy. If God can rewrite the future of a scamming, scheming people, what can He do in your life if you would just come before Him and say, God, I need help. I'm done. I'm not trying to negotiate. I'm not trying to keep a little bit of me because that's bargaining, right? We want God to do something for us while we stay in control, while we get to call the shots. And so we're trying to negotiate. Lord, if you'll just help me. Man, what would happen if we just laid it all out? If we cut the nonsense and just said, God, I'm out. I'm in a mess. I've messed up. And I need to surrender my life to you. What would your future look like? Man, for the Gibeonites, man, they got to be at the center of worship. They got to be a part of the story. That can be true of you today, too. Stop bargaining with the Lord. And just come. It's amazing what God will do when somebody surrenders their life to Him. I was reading James Sproul this morning, an old friend and mentor of the church, and in one of his books, he says something like this: we cannot expect to get more of God without having less of ourselves. Man, that's this surrender idea. We can't expect to get from God without laying it down. So what would it look like in your story to stop bargaining, stop the negotiating, and surrender today? What we see in this story is an amazing display of God's mercy. Man, if he can do that for them, what can he do with you in a humble heart? Woo! I bet it's good. So we're going to respond in two ways today. It's all I got. We're going to respond. First, Pastor Terry and I, we're going to be in the back to pray with you, just to join you. We're going to respond in two ways. The band's going to play. They're going to do their thing, lead us in worship. The first way I want to respond today is that if you're here and you're in verse 14, or you're in verse 13 rather, you're looking over the evidence of something that's come into your story. And maybe you've done all the things, but you haven't stopped to ask the Lord. Or maybe you have and you want to, someone to come and ask the Lord with you. We're here to pray with you today. You can say as much or as little as you want. We'll just agree with you in prayer. But let's take a moment here while we have it together. Let's not blow past this simple step in discerning God's will for our life. If that's you today, I'd invite you to come here in just a moment.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.